What are whales saying to each other? We've known about whale songs for a long time, of course, and some people listen to them to fall asleep or to marvel at the mysteries of nature. But scientists have actually been decoding the content of these resonant calls, and lately they've brought artificial intelligence to the project in hopes that we may soon bridge the human-animal language divide. Here to sum up the latest on the research is Tom Mustel, a biologist turned filmmaker and writer with 5 big ideas from his new book, How to Speak Whale.
Hi, I'm Tom Mustel, author of How to Speak Whale, a voyage into the future of animal communication. How to Speak Whale is about the revolution taking place in biology as the AI and other tools we've built for recording and finding patterns in each other are turned to look at the natural world, to decode the behaviors and communications of other species. It focuses on one of the most exciting current examples of this research, which is concerned with the cetaceans, the whales and dolphins. I'm a biologist by training, and have spent the last 15 years as a wildlife filmmaker, working mainly with the BBC, PBS and National Geographic, and with people like Greta Thunberg and David Attenborough. The films have won awards, gone viral, and been seen by over 100 million people. They've been played at the Pyramid Stage at Glastonbury, the United Nations General Assembly, and in Times Square. I do this work because I believe the big ideas we have about nature are crucial to the survival of life on Earth, including our own. I tell you all this because the next big idea I'm going to share with you today, the biggest idea I've ever come across, might sound at first implausible. The idea is that we may soon be able to decode the communications of other species and perhaps even make contact with them. This could be the beginning of a new age for us and our relationship to the other species on Earth. Over the next 5 insights from my book, How to Speak Whale, I'm going to share with you how this might work and why the implications are massive. As you are listening, as so much of this story involves sound, I'm going to use an acoustic recording to illustrate each big idea. So, how did a wildlife filmmaker learn about this? Well, this story landed on me, literally, out of nowhere. This is big idea number 1. What used to be anecdote is now data point. This is the moment that I almost died.
Knocked it over.
In 2015, I was kayaking in Monterey Bay, California, when a 30-ton adult humpback whale breached out of the sea and down onto me and my friend Charlotte. We had been in a whale-watching tour and were paddling back to shore when the whale erupted out of the ocean. It was shocking and incredible and beautiful, as if a living building grew out of the water. It crashed into the kayak and dragged us down. Somehow, we escaped unharmed. For an animal the size of a truck to hurl itself out of the water, scientists have estimated they release an energy equivalent of about 40 hand grenades. Other kayakers came to our aid, and we paddled back to shore, thrilled to be alive and processing the extraordinary experience we'd had. I didn't realize we'd kayaked into a seismic change happening in biology. As we'd paddled out that morning, Charlotte had asked me if I'd bring my 2 GoPros with me. No, I said, because everyone's whale-watching videos look the same. How wrong I was. And I was gutted, because I didn't think anyone would ever believe us. But others were filming on the water, and our near-death was captured on film and in close-up photograph by not one but 3 other people. The videos went viral, and our lives were turned upside down. Scientists who analysed the recordings told us that we'd survived because the whale had seen us mid-flight and turned away. A citizen science platform called Happy Whale used artificial intelligence, or AI, to match the whale's tail into a new global database launched 2 weeks prior to our incident and told us who the whale was, how old it was, who its mother was, where it was born, and we have been able to follow its life ever since. Another scientist played me the sounds of the humpbacks of Monterey Bay singing, recorded by a hydrophone recently placed on the seabed beneath where we'd almost died. He'd trained AIs to sort through years of recordings and identify different whale species by their calls. All of this was suddenly happening now. If the whale had leapt onto us a few years earlier, before cell phones with video cameras were everywhere, before fast internet was most places, before AIs had been trained to find patterns in whale lives, then my story would have ended as soon as it had begun. A near miss, and an exhilarating experience, unwitnessed and likely unbelieved. But instead, tens of millions of people watched a video of a whale that changed what they thought whales could do, and layers of meaning and connection could be followed from it into a much bigger story. Big idea number two. Machines are making biologists superhuman, allowing us to record the lives of other species as never before. These are the clicks made by a hunting sperm whale deep off the waters of Dominica, recorded from a sensor placed on a sucker on her back. After seeing what could be learned just from my chance encounter, I became obsessed. I spent the next 4 years attending conferences and interviewing scientists, travelling to see them deploying new tools. I watched as researchers placed exquisite tiny recording devices onto the backs of whales that gave us their points of view as they hunted, played, and suckled their young. I watched fleets of drones track the complex social interactions of hunting humpbacks, measuring them from above. I visited forests where small boxes sat at regular intervals throughout, constantly listening for the sounds of the rare birds that lived there. I met autonomous sea vehicles, robots that navigated and powered themselves across entire oceans, listening all the while for life in the waves. When Darwin set out on the Beagle, he was limited by his own body. He could only perceive what his senses could perceive. He could only go where his body could go. He could only share what he learned with a few others who read his writings. And he could only record in words what he had witnessed. Now, you can buy an AI bird feeder that identifies the individual birds that visit your garden and sends its sightings to the cloud automatically. Your phone can tell you which of 10,000 plant species you are looking at just by pointing at them. The animal internet is arriving. The upshot of this new machine help is that biology is transforming from being mostly the study of bodies to the study of the previously uncapturable, digitized life. Behaviors, movements, interactions, and communications. Machines have transformed the ability of biologists to perceive and record the living world, and what they have seen has transformed our understanding of the lives of other animals. And this, in turn, has undermined our assumptions about what makes us humans special. Big idea number three. We are learning that humans are not quite as special as we thought. This is the sound of a pod of killer whales in northern Norway calling out to each other while hunting. These long-lived, highly social mammals coordinate their attacks by voice in the dark waters. In the last decades, orcas like these have been found to possess many characteristics that were once thought uniquely human. They seem to mourn their dead, plan ahead, and play. Other cetaceans have been discovered to recognize their own reflections in mirrors, learn communication systems that we teach them, to follow sequences of commands. They solve problems and make tools. They've been discovered to have signature whistles, analogous to names, for themselves. Some seem to kill for pleasure. Others seem to exhibit altruism. I saw humpback whales defending the body of a dead grey whale calf from attack. They use their virtuoso voices to separate themselves into acoustic clans based on the complex different sounds they make, and teach one another sophisticated behaviours which they pass down as cultures. In a hospital in New York City, I witnessed the MRI scanning of the brain of a young sperm whale. The scientist showed me its great size, its folds, its grey matter, and its special neurons, all of which in human brains are associated with complex cognition. And this is just the whales and dolphins. The more we discover about their lives, with machine help, the more we learn that others can do things we thought only we could do. And that leads us also to the last bastion of human specialness, language. And here, computer intelligence could help reveal animal intelligences and communications that we did not suspect were there. Big idea number 4, a Google Translate for animals. This is the sound of a group of Pacific white-sided dolphins. There are so many voices in the recording, it's impossible for the human ear to tease them out. But new machine learning tools can separate out the voices and identify each dolphin by its signature whistle. A great hurdle for animal communication studies has always been the innate problem of the human observer. We cannot be watching all the time. We cannot record and remember everything. We cannot perceive patterns in their communications, apart from very basic ones that relate to our own. Where we have failed to find evidence of complex communication, or figure out what it means, we've assumed it isn't there, and blamed the animals at failing our tests. And so, we've decided that other animals don't have something like language. But this seems hasty, and in the light of our track record on other things we used to think only humans did, perhaps foolish. Machines are changing all of this. Google Translate can switch between English and Urdu and Swahili without a bilingual or trilingual dictionary. It works because AIs have discovered hidden deep patterns and relationships within human language that we could not perceive before, and use these to translate without a Rosetta Stone. Could these pattern-finding tools find patterns in the communications of other species? A Google Translate for animals? Several teams are already trying. Right now, off the waters of Dominica, the seas are being rigged with the most sophisticated animal listening system ever devised to capture the entire vocal lives of the resident sperm whales. It is called Project Seti. Hydrophones will float at 100-meter intervals. Soft robotic fish will swim among the whales, recording their lives. The sperm whales themselves will carry recorders. The team aims to gather the largest animal behaviour dataset of all time. This is big animal data. They are designing this dataset specifically to feed into their pattern-hunting AIs and attempt to crack the codes. By listening to the lives of the whales, including young whales learning to speak, they plan themselves to piece together the rules of sperm whale speak. Then they hope to have a two-way conversation. They want to make contact. They are aiming to do this in a matter of years, and whales are just the start. What would this mean? Why are they doing this? Which brings us onto our final big idea. Big idea number 5, the power of empathy. These are the sounds of humpback whales. These ones are from Monterey Bay, where I was landed upon by one of them. Perhaps one of these voices belongs to the very same whale. When I was born in 1983, we were slaughtering these and other whales in their hundreds of thousands, and if we had continued, the seas would likely no longer ring across the world to these beautiful calls. It was in the midst of the carnage of commercial whaling over half a century ago that Dr. Roger Payne was given a recording of these sounds from the waters of the Bahamas. He called them rivers of sound. By careful analysis, he realized that not only were they made by whales, but that, in his words, by God, they were repeating themselves. They were made up of repeated patterns similar to notes, phrases and themes, refrains and choruses, even rhythms and rhymes. When he proved that whales were singing, it made the front cover of Science. When he released an album of the recordings, it sent shockwaves through human culture. People reacted powerfully to these songs from the ocean. They became a phenomenon, played on television, in concerts, shot into space on the Voyager space probes. That whales were like us in how they used their voices triggered an explosion of empathy that propelled the campaign to cease their slaughter. Whales today, thanks to this, are largely safe from whaling, but face warming, acidifying, overfished and polluted seas. They're run over by our boats, deafened by our sonar, fatally tangled in our nets. Roger is one of the lead scientists of Project CETI, one of the teams trying to translate whale communications. What all the teams have in common is the hope that by decoding whale speak and the communications of other species, we might trigger another great change of heart. Our relationship with nature is in a bad state today. As a conservationist, I know from experience that people are mainly motivated to protect those they can empathize with. I am compelled by Roger's logic. It's hard not to imagine that if we could understand what whales and other animals were communicating, if we could see vividly what they cared about, their joys and pains, that it would not change us. And the ramifications are wider than conservation. We have long clung to our specialness. Would we feel challenged by what we learned? How should we safeguard the power that this new knowledge would give us and not use it to manipulate and exploit? If you discovered what your cat really thought about you, would your relationship survive intact? These are intriguing questions, and I hope that now, with a taste of the exciting frontiers explored in How to Speak Whale, you do not find it absurd that I suggest you take them seriously. Thanks for listening to this book bite.
Thank you, Tom. That was Tom Mustill with 5 big ideas from How to Speak Whale, a voyage into the future of animal communication. We've actually got a lot of ideas about non-human intelligence here in the app. For a start, check out our book bite for Dancing Cockatoos and the Dead Man Test, How Behavior Evolves and Why It Matters. I'm Holly Morris. Thanks for listening.